Hello and welcome to the Visibility, Influence and Impact vlog and podcast. I'm your host, Jay Mackay from Jay Mackay Communications, marketing consultant and coach who works with people across the world to build businesses that help them create impact. Today, my wonderful guest is Yale Keown, a small business owner, FIFO wife, mum to two primary schoolers and a myriad of pets, plus netball coach to a group of seven-year-olds. You could call her busy, but she hates that word. Me too. Instead, let's just say she has a life full of variety and flexibility. Over the past 7 years, Yale has established herself as Australia's go-to email marketing expert for online business owners who are ready to increase their sales in much less time using the power of email marketing, all with the spirit of service and providing value. Welcome, Yale.
So glad to have me.
I'm excited to speak about email marketing. This is super low rated in terms of like we should be on Instagram, underrated. Should be shiny, but we'll underrated. Thank you. Oh my God. I need more caffeine in my life. I know a little bit of your story, but let's share with the audience because I didn't go in your full bio because, you know, the big reveal. Tell me about how you got to being in your business right now.
So it's probably a very similar journey to many, many women. I have my whole professional background in marketing. So straight out of school to uni, into the corporate world, did my MBA, did all of that. And then I had kids and Ta-da! Despite always going, no, I'll never have my own business. It's too much stress. It's too much going on. I just thought, you know what? I might have a little play. And so I did, and I went into it like totally delusional, kind of going, there's this whole like online course world and this whole thing. I could be like the marketing strategist for everything and realize, you know, it's not that, that six figures in 5 minutes situation. But, you know,
I wish someone had told me that.
Yeah. And a gradual build. And it was actually really coincidental because when I first literally I registered my business name, my ABN, everything. And then like the next week I found out I was pregnant with my second child. And so that was a really creative time. I had to kind of pace myself a bit as well, which was a great thing. So I just kind of did the thing I do and, learned as much as I could. And for those of you who aren't familiar with all the rules around in Australia, we get this thing called paid parental leave. And when you're on paid parental leave, you can't technically earning money from a job, even your own business, even if it's only like putting out an email with an offer in it, like you can't. So I did what everyone else told me to do. And I started growing my email list and I started producing a ton of content. And off the back of that, you know, as soon as I got past, you know, my 18 weeks, I was able to put out my first, you know, offer of just some like planner thing and it sold. And I was like, Woo-hoo. Okay, I've got the bug here. And over time, you know, I played with marketing strategy and it never got to like that big level. But as over time, I found everyone just kept asking me time and time again about email marketing. And so I did what I was told and I niched down further and further and further. And here we are today.
And look at you go, because you have such an exceptional reputation in terms of helping people with their email marketing. So I'm going to go off tangent completely because that's what I like to do. Email marketing ROI, return on investment, for those of us that aren't in the marketing game, tell people about that because it is so underrated. Everyone thinks they should be on Instagram and doing reels and blah, blah, blah. When in fact email is a beautiful, intimate way to connect with your audience.
Yep. So the stat is, the big stat that everyone puts out there, and I do it too, is $44 back in your pocket per dollar spent. That was a study done by Campaign Monitor many years ago. I don't know how much, you know, that has been updated since. But if you compare that to anything else, it's like if you ran ads, and obviously it used to be better than it was, like you're happy to like earn your money back almost. If you make a profit of like 20% versus, okay, I can invest in email marketing, which by the way, you can do for free as well. You don't even need anything. But you can start on a free platform anyway. So there's a great way to make a return on investment. But it just comes down to the fact that your messages get seen, your offers get seen, you're not dealing with algorithms, you're not having to show up every single day and worry that if you don't post something that you're just going to disappear into the void, and or if you, you know, get a bit lax with it. So it's there sitting in, your emails are sitting there in their inbox when they're ready to open them, to read them. They can choose themselves whether they're going to or not. But we still get open rates of around 21.3% is MailChimp's average. I see that number being significantly higher for most of my clients. And compare that to, I think last year's, there was a study done last year on like Instagram engagement rates, which are like, is like 1.6%.
Yeah.
So 16 people out of 1,000 versus 213 out of 1,000. I know who I want to be, where I want to be investing my time. Now, it's not to say the other stuff is not relevant. It's just higher up the funnel, because the reason you get those higher open rates, the reason you get that engagement, is because people have already trusted you or been, you know, put their hand up and said, oh, yes, I'm interested in what you have to offer specifically, and given you the privilege of having their email address. And now it's like you get to show up and help these people who are already, you know, that next step, wanting help with a problem, to solve a problem, or wanting just an inspiration, or wanting a really nice pair of shoes, whatever it is, you know, they've said, yes, I want this. So that's why you get those stats. And there's a whole pile of other things too, automation, segmenting, and all these other wonderful things that help contribute to those numbers.
So how has your business evolved over time, and what were the signs for you that it was time to change?
It was very much back, it was probably, how old is my program now? It's probably about 4 years old, having like a signature program to do with email marketing. And I first launched it as just like a small course, and it was just a separate thing to my my whole suite of marketing related offers, and it sold a lot easier than anything else sold. So that's the big clue. And then it was like, it was a big leap after that to kind of go all in on it. But it was also very freeing to be able to do that and say, you know what, you know, I'm going to stand in this space. And I did find, as soon as I said, you know, I am the email marketing person, it was so much easier to grow the business in terms of, if people needed someone to talk about email marketing, like we're doing here now, they're like, oh, yeah, Yael knows about that. Like, it's an instant connection. And so it just helps with all of that, just getting out there in front of more people and people being aware you exist in the first place.
And it's that whole, when someone's given you permission, and they, in Australia, it's an opt-in, as you say, to get on, to go on someone's list, they've already broken down that first barrier of trust. And so anything following that is an actually easier sell than going on Instagram and going, hey, buy my thing, which is what a lot of people think they need to do. And it's just, it's really incredible that it took me years to go, I'm going to do email. What do you think are the barriers for people putting themselves out there on email?
So the number one thing that comes up is, I don't want to be annoying. I get too many emails. Yes. I don't want to add to the noise. Well, I can guarantee you there are a ton more posts going up every single day in your feed than you are getting in your inbox.
Email. Yeah.
There is literally no end in one feed versus what's in your inbox. So let's just scrap that. Busy is social media. Then email is under the user's control. And I admit, I'm, you know, not the best at unsubscribing from things, and I sign up for all sorts of stuff because, you know, it's my niche as well. I like to see what people are doing. So that's the number one thing that people worry about. They worry that they're going to appear, you know, annoying or spammy or sleazy or salesy. And they then maybe they'll that will be the real reason that they'll hide behind excuses. Oh, I'm not good at tech, or it's too hard to get started, et cetera. But often it comes down to that concern. But what I say to them is, it's exactly like every single other platform in the world, that it's a tool. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are annoying people in that send annoying emails or just like do dodgy things. But likely, if you're questioning yourself, you're not going to be one of those people. Yeah. It's just like on Instagram. You can be one of those annoying chatbot people who, you know, comment on every post that has uses a certain hashtag or just has, you know, just posts, just tags random strangers in their photos, like all the whole shine thing. Like there is dodgy behavior.
Did you win a gift card too?
Yes, I did win a gift card multiple times. So it's like, it's the same thing. Like you can choose to just not be annoying. And remember, again, your subscribers put their hand up and said they want to hear from you. They could have, and we like to think, I like to think about it, go, why did they sign up? Like, what is the literal reason they signed up to your list? Did they sign up to a lead magnet freebie download that helps them solve a certain problem? So top tips for something. That's a big signal to me that they need help solving this problem. So if you are providing them emails that help solve this problem, or even promoting offers that help solve, that problem, you're helping them. You're not being annoying. You are giving them what they have said they need. If they have put their details at a form on your e-commerce site that says get 10% off your first order and get, you know, latest updates on latest products and our offers and promotions, they want to know when you've got latest products.
They want to know
when you've got offers. Like, they're not stupid. We've got to stop treating people as if they don't know what they're in for. This whole thing's been going on for years.
Unsubscribe.
Exactly. Like, it's not like you're hiding the unsubscribe.
They have the power.
And do list cleanups too. Like, sometimes it comes down to, well, you know, that content might not be relevant for everyone, or, you know, my open rates are quite low. I'm like, okay, will we do a good list cleanup? You know, it's just good practice for many, many reasons. But let them go with love if they're not opening. Awesome. Or, you know, create segments of people, you know, so you're not sending offers to people who've already bought the thing. No, you just do some basic things that on the back end that could take you 5 or 10 minutes to do, that sometimes alleviate that nervousness about, oh, but what if this isn't relevant to them? Yeah, there's a ton you can do to make it feel, less annoying. But that would be the biggest thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I could email some people every single day, like same people every day. And I'm like, I really like their emails and I read them every day. And I actually spoke about this on my last solo pod, was there's people in my inbox who show up every day and I feel like I know them or that they know me, because that's the intimacy that email marketing gives you. And so it's a funny thing where I don't follow these people on Instagram necessarily, even, or they're not even active, because their email's so effective.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it gives you, and it is that more intimate space. Like, and this could be the reason why I enjoy it so much. You know, I don't necessarily like putting myself out there, you know, big open world. But yes, great. Share some tips, share some facts. But, you know, the people on my list, you know, I can trust them a lot more. You know, it's a more intimate environment. You can be a little bit more vulnerable. You can talk a bit more about your personal life. Like, not, you know, you don't need to go into too much information, but it's just, you can add those personal touches and feel like you, and it creates, and it is that more, you know, intimate, almost talking to one person, like here's an email talking about something, and even you get the replies too and you start conversations, and that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun if you like having conversations with people, which is sort of the point of marketing. Let's not get beyond that. So I mentioned in the intro you've got little kids and you manage a 7-year-old's netball team, which is epic. I just rock up at Auskick every Thursday and sit in the car. Oh, it's freezing. How do you manage your life as a mom and an entrepreneur and all the other things that come with being a grown-up?
I'm not going to say it's not without its challenges, but I think honestly, truth be told, I think I would be bored if I was just doing, you know, the 9 to 5, 5 days a week and coming, like, I don't think I could live that life again.
No,
so
me either.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, I'm pretty strong on my boundaries and my capacity in terms of literally school hours, and also just the energy I have to give. So it does take a lot, and it does take, some weeks are a complete hot mess and some weeks I am just, you know, on fire. But I am definitely like uber organized when it comes to like everything's in Google Calendar color coded. everything then, you know, goes in the weekly planner just so I can get it out of my head. You know, when am I doing things for life and business? So literally down to what days I'm doing what washing and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
Wow,
I'm
very, you are organized.
High pay with that. Whether I follow through on the plans is not always, not
so
always
much
the
fun.
Case, but it is the, it's all, always that recognition of, okay, this is my capacity. And then looking at that and saying, okay, well, this is my standard workflow. Like I also do try to stick to sort of theme days. Like I have certain days where I'll have calls and I'll have days when it's, you know, my focus is on background stuff or, you know, I'll block out days to do sports carnivals and different things. So it's just being conscious about where the time's going.
I think it's also being conscious of, as you said, your capacity, how much energy you've got. And like I've got next week, I've got four nights out, like two nights doing presentations, which really take it out of me. I know that. Mm-hmm. And then two nights at a school play because my son's in it. And so I have to go to both, you know, because I've got to pick him up anyway. And I know then that next weekend after those four nights out, because I don't go out, live in the country, I can't do, I'm not going to be able to do anything.
Yeah. Like, or even, yeah, during the week, have that slower mornings after it or any of those things. Just saying, you know what, okay, it's okay to not be productive all of the time.
Yeah, and allow yourself to have that downtime. Like I have, I'm a big believer in knowing where I am in terms of my energetic cycles and honoring that and going, okay, well, if you don't want to show up, then don't. Like I take every Monday off and someone said to me the other day, oh, you're lucky. I'm like, no, I just decided that I don't vibe Mondays and
because
if I want to work.
You're a mum, so you don't technically get Saturday and Sunday off.
No. And this week I've got sick kids.
Literally, okay. And that's where, you know, non-mums generally don't understand. It's like, okay, and we've got mornings and evenings. Like our shift.
I start at 6 a.m.
And
I finish at 9.
So it's like this.
Every day.
The in the days, the school hours, and that bugs me, you know, when people say, oh, you know, even the mums that don't work or don't have their own businesses, etc., they're like, oh, you know, you could, and the kids are in school full time, and it's like, oh, they should be doing more. They're lazy if they're not doing more. I'm like, they're literally working. That's their time to do everything else. Mm. You know, I'm fortunate that I get to fit work, some fulfilling work and all that sort of stuff during that time. And, you know, I think I need it to fuel me, but it's not lazy to decide, yeah, I'm going to take Mondays off. Like I pretty much, for me, it's typically Fridays. It's like, yep, I'm going to book in, you know, nice appointments on a Friday or, you know, that's time to go do errands or go for a big walk or do something. So I can actually parent on the weekend without like, just
losing
being
your
so
shit.
Irritable and
basically, which is what we spend our entire time trying not to do, and sometimes we fail. So, what does a great day in the office look like for you? Obviously, you said you have your theme days, you have your client days. What are your favorite things to do? Because often these are surprising. Like I love working. Like I can't pretend I don't.
Yeah, it definitely some days takes motivation. Again, energetically, some days it takes motivation. But when I get started, I get going. My favorite, absolute favorite thing to do to my detriment is definitely ideas, creation, problem solving, you know, strategy.
That's what I do
coming
on Mondays.
Up with that sort of stuff.
I play about.
Yeah. So that is generally now, that's my Monday. You know, I try, again, I don't book anything in for Monday because I want fresh brain, get those ideas, but hopefully actually complete some things as well. You know, that's the stuff I love. And I get to, and the exciting part is on the days, you know, I have my set, have a, you know, day typically where I'm working on my signature program, the email experience and supporting members and recording content, doing coaching calls for that. And then, you know, it's a couple of days a week really focused on client work, combination of calls and done for you. Mm. But yeah, the benefit is when it's like on those calls and I get to have those conversations with clients, I get to enter that ideas mode just for someone else. I'd be like, oh, we can do this and we can do that. And this is how you can do it. And plus the practical of going, oh yeah, how can we get that bit of software to talk to this bit of software? And you know what type of this client is and coming, you know, that excites me.
Because we're geeks like that.
Yeah. That's the part that excites me. That's the part that people like, what is wrong with you? But, that's the fun part. You know, I purposely do not offer, I'm going to manage your email marketing for you and, write your emails every single week. One, I'm not a copywriter. Technically, I could get away with it. But two, I'm like, repetitive work. No, let's get stuff. But there are people out there who love that sort of side of things. So it's about leaning into your strengths and trying to put as much of that in your days as possible. But yeah, there's always days when it's like, oh, I've got to do that thing. And you just have to suck it up and do it as well.
I love what I do, but some days I go, I can't be bothered doing this. But it's interesting. You say, you could do the for you emails. There's so much shoulding in business. Oh, you should do this. And I get it from, you should be doing this. Should I?
Yeah.
Or is that what you're telling me? Mm-hmm. You who don't run a business are telling me what I should do. So this is just permission to everyone. Just tell everyone to shush if they tell you to should.
Listen to the market, but don't listen to them too much. So, listen to them in terms of like, we want you to do email marketing. Or if I didn't like it, I'd be like, no way. It's like if someone said, Instagram's the thing, you should definitely do, teach people how to do Instagram. No. But, they could obviously sense I had a natural affinity and I liked to talk about it and they responded to what I spoke about. So there are times you definitely listen. But you don't have to be a full suite offering. And if you did decide you want to do that, there's ways to do it. You can hire other people or you can, bring on, outsource some things or whatever to do some of the bits you don't like so much.
Yeah, the bookkeeping is usually the first thing.
Yes, bookkeeping's gone.
Especially with us creative humans.
That's gone somewhere else.
I was speaking to someone the other day. It's like, be nice to your accountants because it's that time of year. So you said you don't like being on Instagram, which is kind of the primary platform for being visible at the moment.
Yes.
A perceived primary platform.
Perceived, yeah. I like scrolling TikTok and I kind of think one day maybe I'll try. But gosh, it's daunting.
I just pick two platforms, do them well, and then move on. Like, I've got TikTok, I've got YouTube Shorts, but I just repurpose my content from Instagram. Anyway, but without watermarks, guys, don't be sharing with watermarks. What does being visible in your business mean to you?
Yeah, and I mean, this is something that I have contended with over time because, I like my safe little bubble. I like my people. And certainly getting out there on social media has proven challenging for me because it brings up a lot of the stuff that email brings up for a lot of people. It brings up, that imposter syndrome or the what if I say the wrong thing, or I use, I naturally, am quite a sarcastic person and have a dry humor. And I'm like, if I say it, like the tone could be completely misrepresented if I'm commenting. So there's a whole pile of stuff going there.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. So I've had to think, okay, well, how do I work around this? And it's changed constantly over time, but I've given up on the forcing myself to do it. Recently, I have been a lot more active on Instagram, and the reason I am is because I'm paying someone to do it for me, basically. So I have someone local who is amazing; like, she's really good with all the graphics and stuff. And I get to come up with ideas, and we brainstorm. We sit together once a month and brainstorm content ideas and roughly what we want to create. She goes and does it. We scroll through reels and think, "Oh, that one's fun. Let's just do that." We do it together. Like, we do some stuff together. Then it's done, but she does it. I want to show up, a bit more face to camera reels and just talking, but I keep putting it off. So that's how I've managed that side of things. How much of an impact it's having, I'm not sure, but at least it provides a more public face. To me, I think actually the most effective way of being visible is collaborations, is getting in front of other people's audiences. And, appearing on podcasts or guest talk speaking and just interacting that way, because again, you've got someone else their audience already trusts them. So if they're bringing someone else in to talk about something, then naturally you know, they have that already, again, that little level of trust in that person. And then hopefully, because they know, oh yeah, Yale's got an email list, so hopefully they, you know, they go over to that and they work with that. So I find that the most effective way, but it is also handy to have something like an Instagram, et cetera, and some form of content platform. I also have a podcast as well, and it's just so that people can get a taster, some way that they can get a taste or a feel for what you're about. If you can do that on social media, all good, but I like to go deep. So that's my biggest things. And when I like to dabble with it more strategically, you know, ads, because that's, I don't have to actually do anything apart from set it up and monitor it. And that's, yeah, another good way sometimes. If you're really not a consistent person, sometimes it's just easier. If you've got more money than time, throw the money at it.
It's a funny thing, that tipping point in business is that suddenly time becomes much more valuable than money at a point. And you can just outsource stuff, automate stuff, put money towards stuff, because you're better off spending your time making your money through client work or courses or whatever than going, or going and getting a pedicure than spending time creating reels. And that's your call to make. But as I said, it comes back to that should. There's no set plan for everybody. But I think, and you would agree, everybody should have an email list.
Yes, absolutely. Because you need, I like to think of it and try to explain it as it's a lead generation system. So a business is not a business without leads, and being able to figure out roughly, you know, to do some maths and have some predictability around, okay, if I get so many new subscribers, it's odds are about X percent will purchase from me. And then that means, okay, I just need this many more subscribers to reach this goal. Like, it becomes more of a strategic maths thing, but it is about leads. So if you've got just your following mostly on Instagram, for example, yes, you can use all sorts of methods over there to get, you know, people into DMs or to get them to buy directly off there. But you have to be so much more hands-on in terms of managing that leads process versus if they come to your email list, you can set up some automations, you know, a great welcome series. You can also have things going on, like if they do certain things that you send out another automated email. And you can also do some sneaky spy things where you see, okay, who are my top 10 subscribers right now? Who are not customers? Who have not purchased? Who is opening everything and clicking everything and engaging or replying? All of a sudden, ding, 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 they're my hot leads. And they're the ones that are, you know, it's worth me reaching out to, having a chat, seeing, oh, is there anything I can do to help you out? You know, having and having a way in which to do that. There's so many possibilities for so many different business types with your email when it comes to that. So, yeah, pretty much you can have any sort of upfront marketing that you want, but it should always either lead to an email list or to, you know, some sort of content that drives people to your email list, or to, obviously, you know, if you've got a promotion or a sale or something, going to that. But we know that when we do a buy my thing post, like, it literally just doesn't show. So it's like making sure all roads lead to somewhere where at least you can get the lead, you get the email address, you get the permission, and then you can work with that person to hopefully eventually buy from you. And that could be immediately with the tripwire. It could be, or that they got their 10% off code and they go straight and put it in, or it could be in 2 years, 3 years. I have people who have been on my list for years. I don't even know how long, because it's, you know, they were imported into my current system from my old system, which I changed years ago. And I can see that's where they originally joined. And they're like, I hadn't even spoken to them before. And all of a sudden they're like, yeah, I'm finally ready.
Yeah.
I'm finally ready to do something.
And also, let's not go beyond the fact that social media is rented and your email list is owned. Yeah. It's how I always put it to clients.
And literally, it's an asset. So, yes, there is probably some monetary value if you have a really highly engaged following. But if you were ever to sell your business, you can assign a dollar value per subscriber on your list to the value of that business, because it is worth money.
Actually,
like, and you, and money. That's literally, and you can back it up. No one's going to kick you off Instagram. You know, you own that list. You can do what you like with it within legal means. You know, if someone unsubscribes, obviously you let them go. Someone asks, do you delete their details? Obviously you delete their details, but it's there.
Yeah.
And no one can take it away from you, which is, that security is amazing. Like literally, yeah. What was it? 2 days ago, Instagram was down for like 5 minutes and everyone's freaking out. It's like,
oh, it went down for me randomly. And I was like,
yeah. I'm just like, well, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just and do
people are just
else.
Like, oh, I can't get on. I'm like, well, okay. Now,
don't rely on
I'm
one.
I'm not
people.
A doomsday person who thinks that all of a sudden everything's going to crash and you'll never get an account. But I have, you know, there are plenty of cases that I know of where people have lost their entire accounts.
Entire Facebook and Instagram, because they're both the same.
Yep. And also things like, I've had like charity organizations that I work with, or not-for-profit organizations that I work with, who got kicked off Facebook because Facebook decided that they Australian news weren't doing what they were meant to do, and they considered they were a news platform, so they couldn't. Their Facebook page just went, and they literally are a not-for-profit doing charity almost work, and it's
the local breast care network here in East Gippsland got taken down off Facebook the other day for using the word breast, because we're children apparently. They're a charity, and they
so
support
much.
Women who are going through breast cancer treatment. Like,
I know. And there's just no, because it's all just algorithms. And, you know, we're not totally devoid from that in terms of email. Like, you do have to be careful with some of the wording you use. Yeah. Like, if you use the word Bitcoin or something, you're going to get red flags. It's going to have red flags come through, or weight loss.
But if you're a legitimate business.
But if you're a legitimate business, and you, even if you aren't like a weight loss niche or
there's
something,
there's ways to get around it.
You can talk to people in a way that gets around it, and you don't get flagged as easily, because you're coming from a genuine point of view, so you can do a lot more than you could in an online space.
And also with I just want to touch, because you and I are both quite technical people, I think we're in a position where we can break this down for people. Also, when you're doing ads, you've got to be really careful with your language, and people don't often realize that. With Facebook ads, it's like, why is my ad flag? It's like, because you use the word X, whatever.
Yeah. And it is funny. Like, I remember, thankfully, I think it's gotten a lot better, but
Oh my God.
I had, like, okay,
you can use the word
you because I use you. Yeah, you too many times.
You couldn't use it at all.
Yeah. Like, basically. It was just like, you, are you struggling with this?
Nope.
Can't say that.
It was really
so at least that part's a little bit better now, and you can use words on the image and stuff like that instead of just the tiny
10%
in the corner. Yeah
It was crazy.
So you can do a bit more, thankfully, but
still I see people get their ads shut down all the time for nothing, because a robot's flagged them for something random.
And then the challenge, the process, it's frustrating. So that's why we like to always have a backup. And, you know, sometimes, we still want to grow our list, so we still have to be in these other places, and you still have to deal with those things. And with, email, you get your own little quirks, but, it's yours and it's guaranteed reach.
Yeah.
And that's what we want.
So let's get off the technical. You and I will be like going off on these tangents. People are like, I don't know what they're talking about. How do you show up fully as yourself in your business? I love this question.
Yeah, it's tricky. It brings up all that, imposter syndrome, all the schoolyard bullying stuff, over questioning yourself. So a lot of that is a lot of personal work over the years. But for me, it is ensuring I'm in safe environments. So, to me, my email list feels safe. I can share more with my email list. If I'm in conversation in my community, definitely I come across a lot better in conversation with someone when you know they can hear what I have to say, because they can hear my sarcasm or they can hear my dry humor, and that feels a bit more confident to me. So it's definitely, and that just feels more genuine. I guess that's probably it. If I'm in, get to go deeper, it feels more genuine to me, because it feels like, okay, you can actually get to know me as a person. And I'm a pretty open book when it comes to most things, and I probably say things I shouldn't, in terms of, you know, I might share too much information sometimes. But I think people were just happy to, you know, you just have to be yourself. And I think when you're in a deeper conversation or you're doing something like that, you can't really avoid that.
avoid your own personality.
Yeah.
I'm always say something awkward all the time. Yeah. That's just who I am.
Yeah. And I'll trip over words and I will but I learned a long time ago, like, I don't edit pretty much anything. You know, shitty first draft is always the draft. When I was a more prolific blogger, I would have someone else proofread, because I'm like, I'm not going back to that. You know, I'm just me, and that's how it's going to come across. And hopefully there's not too many spelling mistakes in the emails, or there's not too many things, but it comes across as a lot more natural that way.
Natural. Yeah, I love it. I do voice to text now. That's like, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, I will. Yeah. ChatGPT is the great thing now. I get to come up with the ideas, and then it plays with it. And then I get to go, and then it just encourages more ideas. So that's the new fun.
I love it for idea generation, but I am a copywriter, so I just write quite happily, but, yeah, it's an interesting tool, the old ChatGPT.
Yeah. No, and I've done a whole podcast episode myself on it and played a lot. But, definitely use it. You have to still use your own voice through it. And you have to be the one, either you can use it to come up with ideas, then you kind of do your own variation of the idea, and then say, oh, what if you kind of added this layer to it? Or what if you did this? And then you kind of end up with a half thing put together. It hasn't written any of my emails yet, but I have used it to, come up with ideas, certainly. And we've definitely, repurposing, turning content. And this is what I've been helping in terms of the Instagram stuff. I've just been able to go, okay, to my marketing assistant, say, here's all these podcast episodes that I've got from the last thing and the transcripts. And here's old blog posts on my website. Here's some lessons from in my program. Plug it into ChatGPT and tell it to convert it into a carousel.
Yeah.
Site.
Yeah.
And so it's my content, but it's just put into summary.
Yeah. Cool. Summary. And that's and where it's so like, useful, because you've already written it.
Yeah. So it's it's not me.
We don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. It makes that part so much easier, which is really fun. So that's a great way that
you can. I end up playing with image generation as well, which is another massive
I haven't gone there yet. I haven't gone there yet. Yeah.
Step away. You touched on this earlier. So one of the things that affects all entrepreneurs, that except one, I did have someone on the podcast who went, nah, never had imposter syndrome. I'm like, what? What are your methods to overcome this? How do you respond to the bad days of being in business?
Again, I don't know if I've totally figured it out, because it does express itself in many ways. Again, like, it comes up in terms of knowing, okay, you know, like thinking, who am I to be teaching, you know, how to launch a course using email when I haven't had like a six-figure big launch thing, or I haven't got the gazillion testimonials or case studies behind me, because I'm really bad at collating them. Like, it's not because they don't exist. It's just because I'm really just like,
because I read the email and then I move on and then go,
exactly. Oh, I kind of go, yeah, that was awesome. You know, and those sorts of things. So, sometimes I get this question, and then you think, okay, yeah, you get a bad sales day, you put an offer out there and people just don't take you up, or it's for whatever reason. And then you get all those self-doubts. And for me, sometimes it's literally I allow myself to feel it and you know, get upset. But typically I will go into some sort of action mode. Like if I plan, organize, or come up with a new idea, or I think of a new strategy, or I workshop it, that normally gets me through it. So I definitely go from I quickly feel, you know, emotional about it. I might have a moment, but if I go into action mode and I just let myself brainstorm ideas or go, okay, well, how can we fix this? And I go into fixing mode. Often I find that helps me get me out of it, whether I do any of the things that fix it, but sometimes it just feels like comforting to know some sort of sense of control, even though it might be, you know, just a fake perception of control, but it just gives this sense of, okay, I mean, I'm good. You know, there's always something else. There's always another idea. There's always another offer. There's always another opportunity. There's always another person you can talk to. There's always something else you can do. And as long as you are enjoying the process 80% of the time, that you enjoy the work, then, and the alternative is not going to be that, then you keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's funny how people just see these six figure people. When you actually have conversations, they're like, I have failed so many times, but you guys just don't remember that. Mm-hmm. You just see the me now, not the me 5 years ago struggling and going, oh my God, what am I doing? And failing and failing and failing, and failing. You just go, oh, I want what she has right now. But you know, you've got to get there to, because every mistake that you make or every failure that you have is a learning, because it everything is teaching. And yeah. It's and when I guess you start learning.
And I want to, so I guess add to that now in terms of the current environment we're in, because even if you are established, you're not immune from this. But even if you're new and you're struggling as well, of course, like it is, you know, all this recession, this inflation, this time, like it is honestly impacting everyone in the online space. Like you, an offer you could have put out 2 years ago that would have done gangbusters might not be working so well right now in this environment we're in. And that is not a reflection of you. That is a reflection of literally this is the economy we're in, the market we're in. Mm-hmm. And maybe that means you need to tweak things, whether that's, you know, putting in payment plans or, you know, focusing more on your lower entry point offers versus your higher ones. You know, you have to have, again, the strategic plan angle to it, but it is impacting like everyone. And really I worked with, you know, been in masterminds and I could talk to a lot of people who have had tremendous success and, you know, recent launches are just not cutting it anywhere near the level, even if they followed the same pattern exactly to the T. It is just, you know, the environment at the moment. So I guess I just wanted to add that layer too, that sometimes it is just things outside your control and it is not you. You are not
and
all
it's
of
not
a
even
sudden
your offer. It's just people are going, not right now.
Not right now. And that it'll hopefully come around. You know, hopefully it's not, we're not going to keep getting interest rates going up every 5 minutes forever. But we just have to trust that it'll come around and do our best to listen to what our audience needs right now.
Yeah. I've made some major adjustments lately of having the lower entry points for people, you know, I haven't launched them yet. Just rebuilding my website, just low key. and making those allowances for people, because you've got to always remember that if someone's bought from you once, they're likely to buy from you again. They're your hottest audience. So if you give them an opportunity to buy from you at that low end, you're actually giving them an opportunity to buy the high end as well, be that in 6 months' time, 12 months' time, or as you say, like a few years. But you have that connection. You already have that relationship with them. So it makes it easier. You know, you always need to look at your existing audience of buyers than trying to constantly find new people to come into your audience.
Absolutely. And you always find it. that you have this like small group that just seem to want everything, which is amazing, or they just want all the, you know, that they just want to go all in on your biggest,
big,
like most personalized one-on-one, like I just want all the focus. You know, they're magical, but unfortunately it's not every single person. It is just, you just have to have that, yeah, listen to what people are needing, trying to respond, and again, come at it from, let yourself have the emotion, but then go, okay, logically, strategically, what is going on? If I said it wasn't me, it wasn't the offer. Again, like people put out offers all of the time, send one email or put one post on Instagram, it doesn't buy, and they think, oh, it's the offer.
I failed.
I suck. Nobody wants it. I failed. And then they go and create the new thing and they get stuck in this cycle for years because they don't give enough breathing room or enough opportunity to refine and tweak and
or just ask for the sell over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because so, when we've got an algorithm where you've got a 1.6 engagement and like 0.5% reach, and you're often reaching the same people over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to give them the opportunity to buy.
Yeah. And they're not going to make that decision. Like, from yes, again, we get these magical people. Like, yeah, you know, one of my favorites was literally having someone like listen to me on a podcast episode, someone else's podcast, and like pull over the road and like leave me an Instagram DM and said, I want to do a whole VIP day. And it's like, awesome.
Okay.
Love those people. But most people will take time to make a decision.
They're the unicorns.
Yeah, they're the big magical unicorns, but there's the people that you want to just, you know, they'll just try your free lead magnet and they want to get that taste test, or they want to listen to your podcast for ages, or they want to just follow you on Instagram or buy a $10 thing, and they just, or they're just not ready for a variety of reasons. You know, I sometimes wish I had an e-commerce business because to me that just feels easier. I know it's got its own challenges, but in terms of like, it's simple. Like you can buy this thing as much as this product and it's got these benefits, like, or it looks beautiful or whatever. It solves a problem. Easy kind of sell, lower entry point. You get to just have fun automations and, you know, do things. But if you have a service or if you have, you know, a program or something that helps someone solve a problem, often you're not just contending with the money thing. You've got all of a sudden time. I need to find the time to do this thing. Mm. Oh, and also sometimes I need to have that willingness to change, or I need to feel worthy of investing in myself, or I need to make this a priority. And right now I've got too much going on. So putting out an offer once, if you're only trying to catch that unicorn person who's just like, yeah, I know what I want. I know I need this right now. I have the time. I have the money. I'm good to go in this 5 minutes that I'm checking this email, this offer, versus the person who just needs to really think it out, or they finally, the right time comes for them, you know, that they can invest in themselves or this project or in their business. So just on a logical, again, coming back to a logical level, we can't expect that everyone is ready in that little window that you happen to tell people about it.
Yeah.
It's not
how it works. This is like a marketing masterclass, yeah?
So ranting on all these things. I'm like, yeah.
It's not often I get to speak to another marketing person, so I'm like, whew, let's go. What does having influence mean in your business? How do you influence people?
I definitely don't consider myself an influencer, and it's probably an incorrect perception.
I don't think I've spoken to anybody who considers themselves an influencer.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider myself.
But we all
have
influence.
But we do. And so for me, it is, I guess it comes down to what would probably be considered, you know, my brand, my personality. It is just that straight talk. It is that direct, it is, you know, saying how it is, and like just sharing the opportunity that people might be missing out on, expressing, you know, giving people permission to show up, to send those emails, to be themselves, to use whatever words they want, you know, saying that they don't have to follow this exact recipe sales funnel thing that they found on the internet that they can do marketing in a way that suits them, their personality, what their brand is about, all of that stuff, without even necessarily having to go through all the formal exercises, but just kind of going, okay, can I just be myself through this? Yes, we need to have strategy. Yes, you still need to tell people you exist. And yes, you still need to sell to them. But how can I do it in a way that feels real to me, or that is easy to me in terms of, you know, I know there's always a bit of comfort zone, but what's a way that makes it feel doable? So that's probably where I probably try to put my influence, but then it's just, yeah, take.
Then clients go rogue.
Or they just go, yeah, that sounds good. And then
yeah, let's just do it.
Don't actually send the email or don't do the thing because it freaks them out. And
yeah, it's just like, which is fair, but yeah, that's why you have someone like you or I to go, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. As an old boss of mine used to say, I used to work in big corporate. There was a lot of money involved. And if there was one tiny mistake, you know, or something was slightly off, you know, I would get phone calls going, you just cost me, you know, $200,000, blah, blah, blah. And my boss used to come in and go, now, did anybody die? No. She goes, we're fine. Just let them have their moment. Just don't say anything. Just, you know. Anyway, it was crazy. Anyway, that's why I now work for myself. What is your impact on the world? What's having an impact mean to you?
Okay. So I guess that's a similar thing. So for impact for me is, okay, yeah, I'm doing something dry, technical, strategic in terms of marketing, but is the impact that that has in terms of helping other people grow their businesses in less time, because we've got automation, we've got scheduling, we've got all sorts of things, you know, having these levers to pull so that they can do their business thing in less time so they can live their lives. That's the impact I think I leave with the business. But that's just a small part, because to me, you know, that is my impact is also, you know, my kids. It's the how much am I showing up for them out in my community, with, you know, my mum who's not well, and just being able to be there. And so sometimes the answer is your business is just the medium that enables you to do the other things that are important too.
And we don't start our businesses to, you know, lose freedom or have that 9-to-5 lifestyle. You know, you mentioned your mom, and I'm sorry to hear that she's unwell, and time with your kids, because I read a thing the other day that said the only people that will remember that you work late are your kids.
Yeah.
You know, and having your own business, although it's a hard slog, gives you the freedom to go to sports days and, you know,
teach and have them those fun. And, you know, I'm so excited for them to be old enough to actually come in and, you know, intern and do things, or when they come up with some sort of business idea that's not some stupid lemonade stand that they read in Barefoot Investor Kids or whatever and decided, we're going to start a stand. I'm like, no. I'm like,
no.
Show me the business plan.
A lot of risk.
Some idea for something. And we're like, okay, we can do that together. Like, yeah. I'm excited for that moment. We're like, yeah, let's build a website. Let's go and do
my
that.
My daughter's already hit me up to build her website. Will you build my website for free, Mum? Yeah, I'll show you how to do it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, I'm excited to be able to show those skills. I mean, there's so much opportunity for kids these days. That's going to be fun too. Then they'll understand what you're doing.
My son thinks I just draw pretty pictures, I think, most of the time. So what are your tips for all the people getting fearlessly visible in their businesses?
Getting fearless what?
Fearlessly visible.
Fearlessly Gail. Visible. Ugh. Well, I don't think there's such a thing.
No,
there's no such thing. There's always some sort of fear there. And I think you're lying to yourself if it's not. So it's not about that. It's just about reminding yourself why you're doing it. It's just about putting in, knowing yourself and putting, and knowing, okay, strategically, okay, this is a priority that I need to be more visible. I need to be in more places and do more things. And then thinking, okay, how can I make myself do it? And some people it comes naturally, some people it doesn't. And so sometimes it just means, like to me, it's like, okay, I have to do it in the spur of the moment. If I get the idea, I do it then. Otherwise it's never going to happen. So like reaching out to you when I saw that you, you know, recommenced the podcast, I'm like, oh, quick, 2 seconds. I'm just going to write this now. Bam. Well, I'm thinking about
it. I'm committed.
Or, you know, setting yourself deadlines, but not just your own deadlines, actually holding accountable to someone, like hiring someone. Like, as I said, I had you know, someone edits podcasts. I have to have the podcast by a certain date. Mm. I paid for that to happen. So it happens. So knowing yourself and knowing what makes you actually do the thing,
yeah,
is an important thing. Yeah, So that's this. I don't think there's such a thing as fearlessly visible, but it is just, okay, if you know what's important, ask yourself, how am I going to make this? And then ask yourself, well, how would I normally sabotage myself in this situation, or what would I normally do? And then go, okay, how can I counteract that? You've got to hack yourself.
Yeah, hack your own self-sabotage of work with it.
Yes. And if it keeps happening over and over again that you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, there's obviously something else going on.
Yeah.
So you just got to go get curious about, okay, well, why? Why?
Why don't I want to do this thing that's going to take me 4 minutes, but I've been putting it off for 4 months?
Yeah.
Many of the questions that us self-employed people ask ourselves, why is there resistance there? How can all the people who need some email help find out more about you and your work, Yale?
Yes. Okay. So just head on over to yalekeown.com. You can get on my list there from just going, I've got a freebie, 80 plus fill in the blank email ideas that you can get on there, or just have a browse around. Also on Instagram, am attempting to post more. There are posts up there. So that's Yale at Yale Keown, all one word. They're the best places to start, as well as, oh yeah, my podcast, Easy Email Marketing Podcast. So awesome. You can get a lot more of the strategy, tech talk, all of that stuff there. But I do try to keep the episodes to like about 15 minutes because, yeah, you only need the bite size.
Yeah, yeah. It's like my solo episodes. I'm like, keep them short. No one needs to hear from me.
They awesome. Do, but, you know, they love the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, just straight to the point. Thank you, Yale, for your time today. It's been really fun.
Thanks for listening to the Visibility, Influence and Impact podcast. If you'd like access to the show notes, please visit my website, jmckaycommunications.com.au/blog. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more, please subscribe. Until next time, keep getting fearlessly visible, create your influence and generate an exponential impact on your world.